Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Maseches Tanis Daf Chav Hei. We are holding at the last line of Chav Dalet Amud Beis, and we are in the middle of discussing the story of this great tzaddik, Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, who was zeicha to such great spiritual wealth, which was only paralleled by his dire financial straits, by immense poverty and total disengagement from Olam Hazeh. We spoke about the fact that he would suffice with one kav of carob per week. Says the Gemara in the last line, come Erev Shabbos, everybody's oven was baking, he didn't have what to bake. Have a regilah d'visu. Rabbi Chanina's wife was accustomed to lemechma tanura. She would heat up the tanner, fire it up, kol malish the Shabbat, every Erev Shabbos. What would she put in there? Yishadya aktart. She would toss something smoky in there, something which would generate smoke, mishum kisufa, to avoid embarrassment. This way it looks like they're baking something. Havala hach shivavta bishta. She had this rude, mean neighbor, Amra, who figures, look, michti, yadana, the less luvla miti. Look, I know. They have nothing to bake. My kulihai, what's all that smoke coming up? Oslo, she went vitarfa above. She knocked on the door. Ichsafa. Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa's wife got embarrassed. Va'ayla lindruna. She ran into the side room. Isavad lunisa. A mess happened for her. The chaz l'tanura malilachma. This neighbor suddenly sees the oven full of bread baking. Va'agna. And the kneading bowl, malilisha, filled with dough. Amrla, she calls out to Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa's wife. Planisa, planisa. It's the female version of Pliny. Mrs., quickly, I see, bring masa, that shovel, to kacharech lachmech, because your bread is burning. Get that shovel to retrieve your bread from the oven. Amrla. She responds to her neighbor, yeah, that's what I went to get. Af ana, lohochi aili, that's why I went to the back room to get the shovel. Tana. In fact, we learned in a brisa. She was speaking the truth. Afi lahavi marda nichnasa. In fact, she went in there to get that. The marda, the shovel. Ibn Shimalu met this benisim because she was accustomed to experiencing nisim. She knew Hashem wouldn't let her down and embarrass her. As soon as her neighbor showed up, she went to the back room to get that shovel. She knew that the oven would fill with loaves. Okay. Amrle dvisu. So Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa's wife turns to him and she says, Ad emas. Until what point can we hold out? Ad emas nezel v'nitzar kulihai. How much more tzar can we have? How much longer can we live like this? Amrla, he tells her, my navid. What should we do? Boy rachmi. Daven to Hashem b'nis v'lochmidi. That they should give you something. Boy rachmi. So she responded, Boy rachmi, you daven. I know you're koyach atfilah, Rabbi Chanina. Daven to Hashem. I'll give her something. Bo rachmi, so he davened. What happened? Yotzeh sokim in pisas yad. A form of a hand came down, extended from Shemayim. V'yomulei chad kara. They gave him one leg, the ptura of a table that I have, a golden table. So he gets a golden leg. Chazio, Rabbi Chanina Medeus' wife, saw Bechelma in a dream. They showed her a vision. Asidi tzadiki da'achli. A tzadikim la'asad lova in Gan Eden will be eating off abtura de da'ava, golden a table, the islay tlas kari, which has three legs. The iu, and they, Chanina and his rebbetzin, oicheles, or the he and she, oicheles abtura, she's eating off a table, the trey kari, with only two legs. It's missing a leg. Explains the Maharsha. Which leg was it missing? Mishnah says, the world is supported by three supports. Al shloisha dvarim ha'ilam oimid. The three main elements of our service in this world. Torah v'avoida gmilas chasadim. They took away the leg of avoida, of tefillah, which was Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa's specialty. That was his specialty in this world. And they took that away. The ikar schar is going to be missing. That third leg was depleted, used up in this world. Homer, he turns to his wife. Nichalach, are you okay with that? The Mechal. Ach l'kuli alma aptura de mishlam. Everybody's eating off a full table. Vanan and us, aptura de mechser. We're going to be using a damaged table. Amrleh, she tells him, okay, fine, but what should we do now? Umay navid, what's there left to do? It's too late. We got our schar in this world, it's too late. Boy rachmi. So, he tells her, Davin, dinishkelinu menuch, that they should take it back. So it seems like he was telling his wife to do that. Boy rachmi. So she davin v'shaklu, and they took it back. Gave a refund. Tanu learned in a brayse. God lohaya nes achron yosim in a rishon. In fact, the second nes that they retrieved it was greater than the first nes when they gave it. Why? The gemiru. We have a masayra. The mehav yavi in shemayim. They just give. It's a one way street. They give. They give. Mishkal is shakli. Once they give, they don't take back. Here they gave and they took back. It was a double nes. And now she was okay with her situation. She embraced the poverty. It's worth it. What's a couple of fleeting years in this world compared to eternal, eternal reward? Chad Beis Shimshi. So it happens that one Erev Shabbos, it's called Beis Shimshi, Rashi says elsewhere, because the Bein HaShemashos of Erev Shabbos is famous. It's known. We have to finish our Malacha before that Bein HaShemashos. It stands out in the week. So it's called Beis Shimshi, the Bein HaShemashos. So one Erev Shabbos, Chazdei Lebarte, Rav Chanina notices his daughter is in a glum mood. Lebarte, Davas Atziva, she said. Amalei turns to her, Biti, my daughter, Lemay Atzivas, why the sadness? Amalei, she tells him, look, I went to Light Neiris Shabbos, and I noticed I put in the wrong material, Kli Shal Chemetz, Nischalafli B'Kli Shal Shemen. I substituted that vinegar container with the oil container with a vinegar container. I use it to light Neiris Shabbos. Rashi seems to say that it was burning already. That itself was a miracle. It caught fire. But a concern was that it's going to go out soon. It's not going to last too long. And it's going to be dark on Shabbos. Apparently it was too late to relight. Amarla, he tells her, Biti, my daughter, my ichbastach. What difference does it make to you? Vinegar, oil, it's all the same thing. Misha Amar L'Hashem and Vidlak, the same Hashem who instructed that oil should burn, who Yaymar L'Chemetz Vidlak, he too will instruct that vinegar will burn. In fact, it burnt and burnt. Tana, we're going to the Braisa. Hoyadoylak v'hoylak kuliyim kuli. It burnt throughout the entire Shabbos. Says Marsha to be Mepharsim the Nes. Burnt and burnt. Achi view Mimeno Oil Abdullah until Moitzei Shabbos, when they use that as a source for the Abdullah candle. Rashi says that they will madlik another nair from this nair. They didn't want to have direct enough from this nair, which was created through a nais, and meant to have enough from a nais. Hidliku mimenu or l'avdala. Rabbi Chanina Madoisa havulei hanach izi. Rabbi Chanina had these goats. The more soon will tell us how he got goats. Amrulei, his neighbors complained to him, kamavsetan, look, they're grazing in our fields, they're damaging our property. And he knew that it wasn't so. He was taking good care of them. Omar, he said, look, if it's true, as you say, that they're destroying your grass, they should be devoured by bears. Rashi says, bears and wolves in the forest. Viloy, but otherwise, meaning, if indeed it's not true, they're being kept secure and they're not damaging your property. Kol chada v'chada, every one of these goats, Tasi l'urta, should bring towards evening from the forest. It should come out with duba b'karnayu, each one having a bear perched on its horns, which is totally miraculous. But this will be an indication that these goats are being kept in check. L'urta, that very evening, in fact, Aisi kol chada v'chada, duba b'karnayu, each one had a bear sitting on its horns, says the Kada Kemach. Not only does the tzaddik himself attain higher levels and lives in a higher realm, even his belongings, his animals, override teva. Totally unnatural that a bear should sit on a goat, and the goat should feel safe transporting a bear. Havale hahi shivavta. Rabbi Chanina had this neighbor, the Kobanya base. She built her home. Vulimoto kishuri, the beams came up short. They didn't reach the other side. Asula kamed, she came complaining to Rabbi Chanina, what should I do? Amrale. She tells him, Banisi base. Look, I built my home. Vulimoto kishuri, and the beams are not reaching the other side. Perhaps she couldn't knock down the house. It was maybe an almon. In any case, I came up short. What should I do? Amrale, he turns to her. Mashamech, tell me, what's your name? Amrale, she tells him, my name is Iku. Iku. Responds Rabbi Chanina, Amar, Iku, nimtu kishurayich. Iku, your name, your kishurayich. Your beams should reach the other side. Now, why isn't this a concern of enjoying Ma'as HaNisan? So, Farshim say, look, she didn't make the nes, he made it. Right? Now, he didn't have an offerment, she did. So, it was okay, she could use it. It's interesting that he would use her name, Iku, to bring about the bracha. The Ben Yehuda says, a person's name, the letters in a person's name, are the channels through which Hashem channels bracha and shefa to a person. In order to give a proper bracha, he repeated her name, Iku, nimtuk shirayach. When I took my kids to Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita in Eretz Yisrael, he asks my son, what's your name? Ech karim lecha. So my son tells him, Shlomi. Rav Chaim looks at him, Shlomo. Then he gave him a bracha v'atzlacha. I always wondered, what's the insistence on Shlomo as opposed to Shlomi? So actually, I mentioned this a couple of days ago in the Insights clip. The Gemara speaks about the one who was machmer, not to call people b'chanichosai. So the Ben Ish Chai there says, it was actually Rav Adar Bar Avad back in Chaf Amud Beis. I never called somebody Behani Chosai. The Ben Ish Chai there says that, say Machaber, Ben Yoyada Ben Ish Chai, he says that the Gemara means he didn't use short form names like Eli and Shlaim. It was Eliyahu. No short names, no last names, no nicknames. And he says because he brings from the Ivory Nachal that a person's name, the letters in a person's name, describe and reflect his essence, his neshama. You know, it's easy to wake a person up when you call his name because that triggers him, that wakens him up, that touches his neshama. So expressing the person's name letter by letter, properly, that adds chiyus, says the Ben Ish Chai, adds chiyus to the person. And that was the mala there. Like Harisi, I never called a person by his nickname, by his short name, even if it was a proper nickname. He was makbet to add chiyus to people. That's why he was zeich. Mida kereket mida. It contributed to his longevity, his arichas yamim. So we see that a person's name is a tzinor, is a channel, a conduit for a bracha, for shefa, for chaim. Okay, so he gave a bracha. Your beams should reach the other side, and that's what happened. Tana, we learned in the braisa. Higiu, achiyotsu amalekan v'amalekan. The beams extended until you had an amar sticking out from both sides of the building, so it was an extra extension to highlight the nes and make it visible. Yesh'aymrim, some have a different version of what happened. It wasn't just an extension, snifen asum. Snifen are like parts, pieces. So the beam had some pieces, sort of, that attached themselves to the beam, and that's how it got longer and longer. Tana, plimo yoimer, ani reisi, I see a bais. I actually saw that home. Vaykoroisav yoitzeis amalakan almakan, and I saw those beams coming out on either side. In the schus, Rav Chanina medoisa's bracha and his tefillah. Vramalin, they told me, bais said, this is the very home Shakira Rav Chanina medoisa betefillasai, the Rav Chanina medoisa covered and roofed and fixed up with his tefillah. Asks the Gemara, Rav Chanina medoisa, we spoke about the neighbors complaining about his goats. He had goats. Mehichan havalei izim. How did he have goats? V'aniyava. He was abject poverty. He didn't have goats. V'odam chacham. Don't we know the chacham say ein megadlin behemadaka b'eretz Yisrael? You're not meant to raise live animals in Eretz Yisrael. The concern that it might destroy the vegetation. So what's he doing with animals? With goats? Oh, Rav Pinchas, it wasn't his. Ma said, there was a story as follows. Ma said, Va'ovar Odom Echod al Pesach Beis. A fellow was passing by near Rav Chanina's home. V'yaneach sham tarnegolim. He dropped his chickens. Perhaps he took a nap, left his chickens on the side, got up and left without his chickens. U'matzason ishtoi shav Chanina b'dais. Rav Chanina's wife picked him up. V'amal, he tells her, Al toichlim beitzein. You can't use the eggs. Hashav asaved. V'hirbu beitzim b'tarnegolim. And more eggs were laid. More and more chicks were hatched. And suddenly there's a whole farm there. V'yimetzar and oisam. Which was distressing the family. A house full of chickens. He couldn't do anything. He had to hold on to it. But in desperation, he actually sold them. And he purchased goats instead, which is halachically permissible. As the Gemara Ilmitziyah says, if the effort doesn't justify the return, then of course you have to go ahead and transfer it. You have to go ahead and upgrade it to something which is worthwhile holding on to. So he turned the chickens into goats. And he still held on to it, hoping that the loser will come back to claim them. Pamachas, in fact, one time, Avar Isa Adam, that same fellow passed by, that fellow Sha'av Dumimeno Tarnagolim, who lost those chickens years ago, Bamachavarian tells his friend, Bikani Nachta Tarnagolim, you know what? This place rings a bell. This is where I dropped my chickens. Hatarnagolim Shali. Shomer B'chanina got word of the fact that this fellow is claiming his chickens. Amar Arloi, he turns to him, Yesh L'chaben Simon, tell me, is there any sign, any identification that you can provide? Amar Lehen, he says, sure, Nasan Simon, he gave a Simon, perhaps wrapped in a red ribbon. Oh, now we knew it was his. V'nata, let's say isn't. B'chanina takes him to the barn, to the pen, he says, look, here are your goats. Actually, he tells him, here are your chickens. The fellow says, chickens? I see goats. Explain to him that the chickens turned into goats, but they're yours. And those goats that he held for Hashava Saveda, those goats are those same that we mentioned earlier, who miraculously transported those dubim, those bears, out of the forest. So he didn't have personal goats. He was holding on to them, awaiting their owner's return. Now the same kasha comes back, and allowed to raise goats in Eretz Yisrael. How was he able to do it here? Some farshim say, perhaps he put it into an uninhabited area. Mar says, but midbar you can do in a place where it's not going to damage other people's property. In the forest, so he kept them there. In which case, it's mutter. Some say, because it was a Shabbos Aveda, it was mutter. In any case, they weren't his. He was holding on to them, faithfully, until they only came back, and gratefully retrieved his chickens, goats. Rav Lezer and Pedas, Dechike Le Milsa Tuva. Rav Lezer was very poor. Avad Milsa. In fact, one day, he did the bloodletting procedure, which is generally followed by a healthy meal. He didn't have anything to eat afterwards. Shokol Bar the Tuma. In desperation, he took a young garlic. Vishadi Bipume tossed it into his mouth. Cholash Liboy. And he got very weak. Cholash libei v'nayim, and he fell asleep. He passed out. Ozlo Rabban l'shayu libei. Chacham came to visit him. And Chazyu, they noticed him in his passive state. The kabachi v'chayich. First he was crying, then laughing. V'nafak tzitzisa denura me'apusei. And suddenly they see this flash of light coming out of his forehead. Ki iter, when he awoke. Amrlay, they asked him, what happened over there? Do you remember why you were crying and laughing? My time of kabachas v'chaychas, why are you crying and laughing in your sleep? Amrlay, he tells me, you really want to know? The havayos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem was sitting with me. I had this vision of Hashem next to me. V'am Amrlay, and I asked Hashem, Ad Masai Tzar by Alma. How much could I continue having Tzar in this world? V'amrlay, and he turned to me, Elazar b'ni, my son Elazar. Okay, let's make a plan. Nichalach de afchila alma mereisha. Would you want me to turn over the world, start fresh, recreate you? Efsha, perhaps if I do that, efsha de misyadas b'shata de mezoni. Perhaps you'll be lucky. You'll be born during a time when the mazel of mezonos, of parnasa, is strong? I don't know, I can't guarantee it. We'll try. Amar l'kamei, I turn to Hashem, kuli, ha, you're going to do all that, recreate me, ve'efshan, you're still not sure? Okay, Amar l'kamei. By the way, that's why you say mazel tov. Shem Pinchas speaks about this. A person is affected by mazel, unless he rises to such great heights that is beyond the reach of mazel, a mazel yisrael. But typically a person is connected to the mazel, and that's what characterizes his personality, his mission in this world, which he has to accomplish. But in any case, when a person has a simcha, we always say mazel tov. It's a bracha, it's a tefillah. It's not just a nice greeting. You're giving a bracha that his mazel shall improve. He should be zeicha to rise to better mazel and to have more bracha. Got something to keep in mind. You just say mazel tov. It's a tefillah. It's a good wish. It's a tefillah to Hashem that a person should be zeicha to a bigger and better mazel. That his mazel should improve. In any case, I turned to Hashem and I asked him, Amrilei dechaye tvei. Please tell me the years that I've already lived are more numerous than the years that I'm still going to live? Oy dechayina. Or perhaps the years that I'm still have yet to live are more. So which side of the halfway mark am I on? Amar Lei, Hashem tells him, dechayis. The years which you have already lived are more numerous than what's remaining in your life. So you lived most of your life already. Amar Lei Kemes, I turn to Hashem and I say, okay, Cain, if that's the case, Lo Be'ina, I don't want you to trouble yourself to recreate me. I can manage for the rest of my life. Amar Lei, Hashem turns to me, Bahai Agra, in the Schar, the Amar's Lo Be'ina, that you said, I don't want to trouble you, Hashem. And that schar yahivne loch la'amad asi. I'm going to give you l'olam haba, the following schar. Telesri, 13 nahar of Bosa, rivers, the mishcha farsamon, filled with balsam oil, fragrant oil, dachyan, pure kiproras v'diglas, flowing like the rivers paras and diglas chidekel, the ma'anges bu, which you will enjoy l'olam haba. So I'm going to give you such a great schar. And the Rashba says, why is it that schar al haba is described in these terms? Perfume, fragrance. He says, look, the Gemara Bracha says that there is one experience which primarily benefits the neshama. Ezeu davar shan neshama nenes mimenu, that's reyach. That's why we make a bracha, kala neshama talaka. That even something which the neshama has a not really the guf, more than the neshama, the nefesh, the spiritual aspect of a person enjoys that more than the guf, and that also requires a bracha, says the Rashba, the closest to the sublime hana of Olam Haba. What's the closest that we have in this world? That's reyach, pleasant fragrance, which goes straight into a person's innards, straight into his nefesh, to his neshama. That's why Hashem used reyach tov as a description of the Schar Olam Haba. So he prompts them 13 of these rivers. Amar Lei Kamei, asked Hashem, hi, just 13 Vesuloi, and no more? Amar Lei, he turns to me, Ulechavrach Maya Hivna, well, what am I going to give your friends? Explain the Rishonim. Everything is measured according to a person's level of achievement. Every tzaddik has a different type of Olam Haba. This is your chelek, based on your level. Amar Lei, I asked Hashem, Va'ana, Megavra, the Leslie Be'inon. Am I asking something from a person who can't give me? You have unlimited stock, give me some more. Okay. Machyan, he snapped at me, Be'eskutla, snapped his fingers, Aputoi, on my forehead, in a playful manner. Va'amar Lei, Hashem told me, Elazar Bri, my son Elazar, Geire, Bach, Giri. I shot my giri, my arrows, at you in a playful way. This must be Sisrei Torah, which we have a hard time understanding, but that was the vision that he saw. That explained why he first cried, Hashem, save me from my poverty. And he smiled when he saw what he was being promised. And the flash of light that came out of his forehead was produced by this finger snapping, so to speak, on his forehead. Rav Chaim bar Chanina goza tanisa. He made a fast day, but there was a mitzvah, and it didn't rain. Amrle, they told him, "Var Rishu ben Levi goza tanisa vasi mitzvah." What do you mean, Rishu ben Levi? He made a fast day and it rained. Amrle, Rav Chaim turns to them, "Ha ana, look, I am me. Habar Levi, here's Rishu ben Levi. Two different people. He's greater than me. Can't compare. Of course, he bought results. He's a Rishu ben Levi." Imrle, go ahead and tell Rishu ben Levi, denaisi. Perhaps he can come over here. V'nechaven daitem, and we'll focus together, we'll daven together. If shada tabrit ziburi li bayu, perhaps we will inspire the congregation at Sibur. They'll soften their hearts. We'll do tshuva together, the asimitra, which will bring rain. But in Rachmi, they all daven together, the asimitra, no rain. Amalahu, he turns to the community. Nichalahu, have another option. Are you okay with sheyavei mata b'shvilenu? If it rains only in our schus, which isn't as great as rain coming because the tzibur in its entirety, the tshuva, which brings about a greater bittel of the gzera, greater bracha, are you okay if just us will bring the rain b'schus tzadikim, which perhaps won't be as in abundance as otherwise? Amalei, they say, yeah, we're desperate. Hang, go ahead. Amar, so he turned to the rukia. He said, rukia, rukia, sky. Kasi panech, go cover up with clouds. Let's go. La'ichsi, sky refused to comply. Omar, he said, kama azan perukia, look how brazen sky is. Ichsi, then. Sky got scared, he covered up with clouds, vasa mitra, started raining. Levi, gazer tanisa, he too made a fast day. Vasa mitra, and there was no rain. Omar lefanav, he turned to Hashem, ribay nishalom. Alisa v'yashavta b'amarim, look, he went up to the Shemayim. Ve'inata merachem al banecha, you no longer express rachmanas on your children. Asa mitra, it started raining, v'itla, and Levi got hurt. He became limp. Amar b'lazer, we learn from here, l'oilam al yatiach adam dvarim klapi mala. A person should be careful never to toss, so to speak, words, heavenward. Be careful how you address Hashem. Don't speak harshly. Sharei, because adam gadol, it was a great man. He tiach dvarim klapi mala. He spoke a bit too direct to Hashem, v'itla. He became limp. Umanai, who was that Levi? Asks the Gemara. V'hagar malei. This incident brought about the fact that he became limp. V'halevi. Ach v'kida kamei de Rebbe. Levi presented this acrobatic feat in front of Rebbe. Kida was with a would bend down like just on the thumbs. He'd go all the way down to the floor and support himself just with the thumbs. Rashi says, "V'noishik as a ritzpah, give the floor a kiss," and then lift himself without any support, which was very strenuous on the muscles. And Levi was an expert actually in this thing. And what happened? Levi ach v'kida kamik the Rebbe did in front of Rebbe to lighten up the mood. And the Gemara Bava Metzia says that Rebbe was in a constant state of tsar for the Kabbaris Yisrael. And Levi wanted to lighten up the mood a bit, so he performed in front of him, ve'idla, and he got injured. So that was the cause. How can we say it was because of what he spoke to Hashem? Answers the Gemara, ha v'ha garmalei. Both reasons were the cause of his injury. Explains the Ritva. This kida is a dangerous thing. And when a person puts himself in a makam sakana, then the Gemara Rosh Hashanah said that when a person places himself in the makam sakana, it's a masker avinoisav. It arouses his avarice. In Shemayim, they think, well, is this person worthy of being saved? And they start checking his account to see if he's really worthy. And they bring up things which perhaps they wouldn't otherwise. So he was in a makam sakana. He was doing this kida, which was a dangerous thing. And the fact that he had this on his history, the fact that he spoke like that to Hashem, that weakened his resistance. It made him vulnerable to injury. Rabbi Chiya bar Lulangi, that was his name, Shaminu, he overheard Lahanachanani, these clouds that were speaking to each other, to Ka'amri, they were saying, Nesu, Venesvi Maya, let's go and dump our water, Ba'amanu Mayav, in those nations. Omar Lefanav, so he turned to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Shazat Torah Lamecha Yisrael, when you were looking to give out the Torah, Chazat Al Kulam Yisraelim, you went throughout all the Umays, like Kibluah, nobody was interested, Va'achshav Atanoisin Lamata, now you give them rain and not us. Shaduhacha. He turned to the clouds, dump your rain over here in Eretz Yisrael. And they complied. Shadu aduchtayu, they brought it in Eretz Yisrael. Dorash abchibar lulaini. My dechsiv, what does the pasuk mean? Tzadik katomi yifrach. Compare tzadik to a date tree. Ke'eres balvan in Yiska, like a cedar tree in Lebanon. Im nemar tamar. The pasuk compares a tzadik to a date tree. Lama nemar eres. Why compare him to a cedar tree? Im nemar eres. If it compares him to a cedar, lama nemar tamar. Why compare him to a date tree? Either or. Answer is, ilu nemar tamar. V'loi nemar eres. If you would only mention that connection to a date tree and not a cedar tree, hoyisi aimer. There will be room to think, ma tamar engizim machlet. Just as a date tree, once it's chopped down, it doesn't regrow. Av tzadik, likewise a tzadik. Chas v'sholem ein gizim machlef. He doesn't regrow. He doesn't have continuity. His children won't keep to his ways. It's only him without any continuation. L'kach nemar eres, that's why we compare him to a cedar tree, which regrows, which has continuity. Ilu nemar eres, likewise, if it's only compared to a cedar tree, v'loi nemar tamar. Without mentioning a date tree, hoyisi oimer, I would think perhaps my eres enoisi peres, just like the cedar tree doesn't produce. Av tzadik chas v'sholem enoisi peres, likewise a tzadik, won't necessarily have influence on others, won't create talmidim. Lekach nemar tomer v'nemar eres. That's why we need both connections. Eres, that he regrows, he continues. Tomer, that he produces. Asks the Gemara, v'erez gizay machav, do you mean to say that a cedar tree can regrow once chopped? That's not so. V'atanya, listen to this braisa, l'kech ilon mechaver lokos. Suppose one purchases a tree in his friend's property with the intention of chopping it down. We have to leave enough on the ground so that it can regrow, so the property owner can enjoy that tree again. So how do you go about this? Magbioy min hakarka tefach. When he chops the tree, he does it a tefach off the ground, which would allow it to regenerate. He cuts it and chops it there. Besadan ha-shikma, he's chopping off the trunk, the heavy trunk of the sikma tree, which was used for beams. Shnei tefachim means to leave two tefachim on the ground. Bepsulas ha-shikma, a sikma tree which was never cut, he needs to leave more, shloish ha-tefachim, to allow it to regrow. Bekonim ha-gfanim, if he's chopping reeds or vines, v'nap kakul ha-mala, he can only chop past the first joint. But the call him a barazim. However, when it comes to date trees or cedar trees, which don't regenerate once chopped, there's no point in leaving anything. Chayfer lamata, he can dig below ground or mashush and pull out the roots. The fish engiz a machlev, there's no regrowth. So how can we say that an eres has regrowth? It says that more typically an eres does not regrow. Hacha mayaskinam. Here we're speaking about a different type of eres. Bishar mini arazim. You see, in the eres family, there are many varieties. And some in the eres family will regrow. Not your typical cedar tree, but the other types. Kedirava barhuna, the Amar Rabba barhuna. Asora min erosmin. In fact, there are 10 types of eres in that family. Shenemer etan, midbar eres, shita vahadas, etc. Tanur Rabbanan. Mas Rabbelezer. Shegozer shloish esri taniyas ala tzibar. Velayard gesham Rabbelezer. Ben Hokunus. Established the full gamut. Full arrangement of 13 fast days when there was a drought and there's no rain. Even after all that effort, Bachrina, the last fast day, his chilo tzibulotzis, they were done fasting, they were leaving shul, and there was still no rain. Insight. Amar lehem, Rav Leza turns to them, I have one question. Tikantem kvarim la'atzmachem? Have you prepared your kvarim? Do you speak to Chaver Kadisha yet? That's it, show's over. No rain, famine. Prepare for death. And that really touched them, shook them up. Suddenly, go call a humble v'chil. Everybody started crying out of desperation. V'yord gesham. That did the trick. It started raining. You know, Chaim Shalevitz speaks about this. A person can motivate and inspire himself to no end, but sometimes you never know where that, when it's going to turn on, which button you have to press to get it going. Just a short line like that. That shook them up after 13 fasts, which didn't do anything. But that one line, Rabbi Yisai, it's getting serious. Suddenly, kol kolam b'pchia. That's not right. Shuv Masa, there was another story involving Rabbi Lezer, same Rabbi Lezer, Shiyorot v'nei Ateva. He stood up to daven as a shliach tzibur, v'omar esrim v'av brachas, and he went through the whole 24 brachas, v'loinenem, with no response. Yorot achrav, Rabbi Kiva achrav, Rekiva got up after him. But Amar Yijimili says, Avinu Malkeinu, Ein Lanu Melech Ata, you're our only Melech, we rely on you. Avinu Malkeinu, Lamancha Rachim Aleinu, Hashem, for your sake, have Rachmanus on us. We want to serve you. We're your nation. That's all. That did the trick. V'yard G'sham, it started raining. Which Rabbi Lezer couldn't do with all his efforts. Havu Meranin Rabbanan, the Rabbanan were murmuring. Look what Rekiva achieved in such a short time, what Rabbi Lezer could not do. Yotz a baskel v'amra. A baskel rings out and says, look, you got it wrong. Lo yim b'pnei shezagadol mizeh. It's not because Rabbi Kiva is greater in stature than Rabbi Lezer. No. Ella, you know why he accomplished what Rabbi Lezer couldn't? Shezev mavra midois. He had one advantage. He doesn't keep a grudge. He's easygoing. Vezeh enei mavra midois. Rabbi Lezer didn't have it to that extent. So in this one meter, Rabbi Kiva was superior and he brought about this nes. This change to Spitla Gzera started ringing. The Gdolim speak about the fact that Bizman Hazeh, this is a point of a great chizik for people. This is the tafkid today. Bin Adam L'Chaveroi, Rav Steinman speaks about it, Chaim Knievsky, Bin Adam L'Chaveroi, being Mavra Medoisa, not keeping a grudge, be easygoing. In fact, you know, there's a story, a rather famous story, that this fellow came to Chaim Knievsky after many years with no children. He tried with him again and again. Brachis, nothing helped. Finally, he just broke down. He says, Chaim, I need to have a kid. So Chaim Knievsky told him, look, I can't really help you much, but I'll give you an idea. If you can locate a person who's Mavra Midoisev, who could withstand embarrassment and shame and doesn't respond, overrides his Midois, go get a bracha from him. Okay, thank you very much. He left. He figured, easy as cheese. I'll go find a person who is Mavram Midoisev, no problem. I'll get a bracha. That will be the Yeshua. Well, it wasn't that easy. He looks around. Just couldn't find anybody like that. Finally, one day, it so happens to be sitting at a wedding. And lo and behold, suddenly, there's a ruckus. A fellow came running in. And he approaches one of the guests at the wedding. And he starts shouting at him. Insults, embarrassing him in public. Apparently they had some sort of interaction and some din Torah, and he's yelling at him, calling him names in public. And the recipient of these insults initially tried to ignore it, and he was getting beat red. He was about to burst. Now this fellow, our friend, who was looking for a bracha, came running over to him. He says, do me a favor, just keep quiet. The fellow turns around, who are you? I never saw you. What are you? He says, please, I'll explain to you. Just keep quiet. Let him yell, let him scream. Don't respond. Be Mavram Midoisev. So this fellow said, okay, I'll do it for you. And he waits and waits until this fellow just ran out of words. He saw he wasn't getting much, and he left the wedding. And then he started explaining to him the whole story. He says, look, I'm desperate. I need a bracha. Chaim Knievsky told me, look, a fellow who is Mavram Midoisev, and look, I see a story unfolding in front of my eyes. You're being yelled at, being insulted. This is a wonderful golden opportunity. This is exactly what I need. And you somehow managed to hold your ground. You now fit the bill. You have the ability to give me a bracha. He says, please give me a bracha. He gave me a bracha. He said, I have children. And he had children that year. So the power of Mavram with Doisev is unbelievable. Because at that moment, we're going to Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Hashem is Maver, takes away his Averis. Midrash explained there. He's like a tzaddik of the highest measure. And he has the ability to give brachas. Even when tzaddikim of such great stature couldn't accomplish it, he was able to do it. Okay, so that's the Eitz HaToyv of Bizman Hazeh. It's a treasure. If somebody insults you, it's amazing. It's a $1 million check. Take it for what it is. Appreciate it. Don't just tear it up. Tana Rabban. Admosai, by the way, the Mabit has a beautiful pshat in this Gemara as well. He says, Rabbi Akiva was a descendant of Gerim, right? So he had a tendency, so says the Mabit, basically, Kim, he had a tendency to Olam Haza, to Nisyonis, etc. And he overcame those Nisyonis. He battled those Nisyonis and achieved what he did. As opposed to Rabbi Lezer, who was more of a pure lineage, and his neshama wasn't so drawn to Olam Haza. That's what the Gemara means. Rabbi Akiva was Mavram Midoisev. He overcame his tendencies. He fought with his Midois. And therefore, in a way, he had a mile. He transcended his own nature, and therefore Hashem transcended nature and brought rain. Tanu Rabbanan, and Masayu Hageshamim Yerdim, Vatzibur Poiskim Metanisim. So it's raining. How much rain will come down, which will justify stopping the fasting arrangement? So suppose they fasted, they're about to start a new fast, and it's raining. At what point is it considered sufficient? Kimloy berech machresh. Amount of water that can fill the furrow, which is dug by the berech, like a knee-shaped part of the machresh, of the plow. So basically means, once the furrows get filled with water, divrei Rav Meir. Let's be more specific. Bechareva tefach. If you're speaking about dryish terrain, once the rain penetrates a tefach to the ground, that's sufficient. Bebeninis, average land, tvachaim, two tvachim to the ground. Ba'avuda, worked on land, which is more porous. Shlosha tvachim, you need a three tefach penetration to be considered sufficient. Tanya, Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, inlucha tefach malamala, when it rains, and that water penetrates a tefach coming from the top down, she'ein tohoim yoyti l'krosei shlosha tefachim. There's no tefach coming from above which won't generate a corresponding response, effect, in which case the tohoim, the underground waters, will rise three tefachim, and it also does something to moisturize the earth. So basically, every tefach of penetration brings out and instigates the lower, the underground waters, makes them rise three tefach. V'atani tefachayim. Another brisa says it only rises two tefach. Like Kasha, the answer is, depends what land we're speaking. What type of earth? Kan ba'avuda. If it's worked on, plowed on land, in which case it's more porous and soft. And in that case, only if the rain penetrates three tefachim, that's significant. And that, sorry, if the rain penetrates a tefach, that is significant. Let me start again. Lakash, the answer is, Kam ba'avuda, we're speaking about worked on, plowed on land, which is soft, in which case it's easier for the rain to penetrate, right? So in that case, if it only penetrates one tefach, it will elicit a rather minor corresponding effect, that the tohim will only come up two tefach, because it hasn't rained that much. It only came into this karka avuda one tefach. Kan b'shein avuda, but if we're speaking about untoiled land, in which case it's more hard and stiff, in that case when it rains and it penetrates already a tefach into that ground, that's a significant amount of water, in which case it elicits that three tefach response from the underwater, underground waters. Amar Lezer, k'shema menas k'nasamayim b'chak, when they do nisach hamayim in the Beis Hamikdash on Chag HaShavuos. And as we learned in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Hashem says the nisach hamayim is meant to generate bracha in the coming year's rain. So when they do that, tohoim o'im l'chaver, one water source, the upper water source, calls out to his friend down below, the lower water source. Abba meimech, we know that there's mayim al-yayinim, mayim atachtoinim, beginning of Bereishis, right? So the upper waters call down to the low waters. Abba meimech, have your water flow forth. Kol shnei reim ani shamea, look, I hear the sound of two friends, nisach hamayim and nisach hayayin. One water source called out to his friend, due to the sound coming from those pipes of Nisach HaMayim Vayayin. I noticed, I observed the Malach who's in charge of watering the world. He's called Ridya, like a calf. Ridya really means a lashon of plowing, because the rains enable plowing. So he's Ridya, he's the Malach Memuna on the water. Domele Igla, right, he appears like a calf. And his lips are pierced, because he has to speak to the upper waters and the lower waters. It's like he's speaking the two at the same time. It looks like his lips are pierced. The kaiman, he is positioned between the lower waters, and the upper waters. To the upper waters he calls out, drop forth your waters. To the lower waters he says, Abba memecha, have your waters flow. Shenemar hanitzonim niru ba'aretz. Nitzonim are the blossoms, which happen once a year. Likewise here, the Nisach HaMayim is a once-a-year event. At that point, the pasuk continues, v'kol ha'tor, the sound of the Torah, of the ox, of the calf, nishma v'atzenu, is heard in our land, that's the Malach ordering next year's rain. Mishnah spoke about the fact that we can sometimes have a fast day, and suddenly it's time to rain. What do we do now? Tanu Rabban, they were all fasting. So they started the fast day at, let's say, Alayis HaShachar, or in some cases, the night before. V'yord lam geshamim, it starts raining. What happens now? Koyde menitzacham leishlim. If it's still before sunrise, they don't continue fasting. La'achar menitzacham, but afterwards, yashlimu. That they continue fasting, divrav meir. Why? Meiri explains, Neitzacham is the earliest point in the day where a person perhaps will sit down for a meal. A laborer will perhaps grab a breakfast and run out to work. So, if Neitzacham has not yet arrived, then the fast has not yet been activated. In which case, you don't have to continue. But after Neitzacham, you already skipped that first Zman Sur, the potential mealtime, the fast has technically taken effect, in which case, once you start, you don't stop. Pais can point out that this is Dafka by Yitzibur, because the Bezdin is Masna. They condition the fast upon this type of condition. We don't want to be Matriach the Tzibur unnecessarily, but this wouldn't apply to a Yachid. So once again, according to our mayor, Neitzacham is the trigger point. Rabbi Do'aymer, no. Koidem Chatzoyis le'eshlimu. If it rained before Chatzoyis, stop right there, don't fast. La'acha Chatzoyis eshlimu. If it's after Chatzoyis, you have to continue. Why Chatzoyis? Rabbi Do'aymer says, look, I know generally people eat right away, but Tamid HaChacham postpone their meal. Want to downgrade their Yetzer Hara, they postpone until the sixth hour into the day, which is 11 o'clock. Day starting at 6, 11 o'clock is called the beginning of the sixth hour. So once you hit Chatzos, it's past mealtime for Tamid HaChacham, in which case everybody gets drawn after that, and that determines the trigger point of the Tanis. Rabbi Yisrael, I mean, no, even further than that. Koyim test joyous le'eshlimu. If it rains merely before 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 9 hours into the day, the fast day has not yet really been activated. After 9, you have to continue. Why? Rashi explains, because the Bnei Melachim, the sons of royalty, get up late in the day, late to bed, late to rise, they get up 3 hours into the day, as we learned in the beginning of Brachas, that's why we have Sefer Zman Krishna 3 hours into the day, and they will postpone their breakfast another 6 hours, as we said, take their time, in which case breakfast time for them is only 9 hours into the day, and as long as there's somebody who has not yet skipped a meal, technically we can consider this fast day as having not yet begun, in which case you don't have to be mashlim. Shekein motzina b'achav melech Yisroel, we find by Achav, she's anam b'teshe shoyos l'malah, he only began his fasting 9 hours into the day, shenema her iso ki nichna Achav, and the pasuk considers it as a fast day. So since we find that even starting a fast day at that point is considered, we consider that to be the activation point of a fast day. So you have three shitas. What constitutes the first point of a fast day? Netzacham, Chatzos, or Teishar Shois. Rabbi Yudin Nasiya Goza Tanisa. He made a fast day. Yord lam geshamim la'achar ha'netzacham. Started raining after Netz. Sovar lashlumin, we figured too late. After Netzachama, it's been activated. Omale Rabbi Ami, no, it's still early in the day. Koidem Chatzos, v'acha Chatzos shanino. We learned that Chatzos is the trigger point, not Netzachama. Shmuel Hakotan, Gozer Tanisa, he made a fast. V'yod lam gisham, it started raining. Koidem Netzachama, right before Netz. Kesvurin Homleimer, everybody figured, wow, it's amazing. Shvachesh Otzibu. This is a true indication of the shvach, of the good standing. It's a praise for the tzibur. Look, it started raining right away. Amar Lehem Shmuel responds, absolutely not, just the opposite. Em shalachem mashal, I'll give you a mashal. L'ma'ad avad amin, what can it be compared to? L'evad shemavakish pras mirabi, a servant requesting something from his master. Amar Lehem, his master tells him, tznuloi, just give him his breakfast. Val esh makoyle, I don't want to hear. Alish makoyle shuv, I don't want to hear his voice anymore. Likewise over here, says Shmuel. It's not a good sign. That's not raining right away. Shmuel HaKotan goes to Tanisa. There's another story involving Shmuel HaKotan with a fast day. The fasting, V'yordlam gishomim lachash kesacham. After a whole day of fasting and davening, it started raining after Shkiyah. Once again, Kesvurim HaMleimah, everybody figures, wow, This is amazing. Shivcha shel tzibur. This is a true shevach. This is a praise for the tzibur. After a whole day of effort, Hashem listened to us. Omalam Shmuel. Shmuel responds, lo shvach shel tzibur. Actually, it's not a shvach for the tzibur. The other way around. I'll give you a mashal. What's it compared to? An eved who needs a pras from his rabbi. And the master says, take your time. Wait until he's overcome with the stress. And then, only then give him. But the whole day of fasting and doubting, now we get it. It's not necessarily a good sign. Says the Gemara, okay, so too early is no good, too late is no good. So what's good? What is considered an expression of goodwill from Hashem? Amar, Mashivu Ruach Nashav Zika. You start fasting, the Shtetzibah gets up, Mashivu Ruach Nashav Zika. Suddenly it gets windy. Amar Merdagi Hashem, and Vasa Mitra, it starts raining. Now you know, Hashem was Makabal, their Tfilos, because Hashem responded directly to their words. Masav Gazra Tanis Pulud, was a story in Lud, they fasted, suddenly it's raining. They went home to eat and drink and came back to say Halil Hagodo, which is the Hoidel Hashem Kitoiv Kilim Chazda, etc., which contains the pasuk of Noisen Lechem Chabas Hashem is Mefarnes, all of mankind. Now, V'nei Mahal Mikara, why did they go home and come back? Why not say it right away when it started raining? Abai V'Roma Damar Tavai, they both explained, you know why? V'Sha'in Oimrim Halil Ela Al Nefesh Seveya. Halil Hagodo is only meant to be said when you have a satiated nefesh, v'keres maleya, and a full stomach. Rashi says, the pasuk says, noisin lechem l'chol basar. It's appropriate to say it when you're full, as opposed to when you're hungry. So they went home, had a meal, came back. Now they were in the position to express their gratitude to Hashem, noisin lechem l'chol basar. Eini? Is that so that a full stomach is a requirement for halal agadol? For Rapapa, there was a story involving Rapapa Ikla. He came to visit Lebei Knishto de Abi Guver. He came to the shul of Abi Guver, which was in Mechoizo. And there was a drought. Because of Tanis, he established a fast. And it started raining Koidim Chatzoyz before Chatzoyz. So they canceled the fast day. And what did they do? V'omer Hal. He said Hal right then and there. And only then did they go eat and drink. Why did he do it in that order? And says the Gemara, that's different. Shani bnei mechayza, those people in mechayza are different. They are party people. They're shchichibu shichrus. They were accustomed to getting shikr, intoxicated. And he's concerned, look, if I send them home, they'll never make it back. He sees the moment. They daven, they said halal, and then he released them. You know, Tosfos says that, in fact, he meant to do that. Halal hagadol is only meant to be said when a person has eaten and drunk, but he says, by Psukah de Zimra on Shabbos morning, we do say Halal HaGadol despite the fact that it's still pre-meal. So he says that's different. Psukah de Zimra is different than during Tefillah. And the Achorim explained, what's the difference? If it's during Tefillah, then you only say it Nefesh Sveya Keres Maleya. But it's only part of Psukah de Zimra, you could say it even Shabbos morning before mealtime. The answer is because, you know, Psukah de Zimra isn't a direct expression of HaKoras HaToiv on a very specific, particular Hashpa. When you're davening for rain and you're expressing your HaKoras HaToiv for rain, then you're addressing that specific situation. It only makes sense to express it when you're feeling good about it. Thanking Hashem for Parnasa when I'm starving. So it makes sense. Nefesh Sviya, Keres Meleya, then say, ah, Nais Lechel Chabaz. But Psukah Zimra is just a general, more of an abstract way of praising Hashem. Hashem does this, Hashem does that, Hashem is all powerful. It's more of a general abstract expression of Hashem's praise and HaKoras HaToiv to Hashem and for all that He does for us, but it's not a specific, you're not addressing a specific scenario, and therefore it does work. You can say Halal HaGadol despite the fact that it's still pre-meal. Hadron Loch Seyed Taniya Seyed. Okay, let's do a quick chazar on today's daf. We had the wife, Rav Chanina Madoisa, who found the oven filled with bread. They asked for something from Shemayim, they got that leg, and they sent it back home. Machinina says, look, the same Hashem who decided oil will burn, will make vinegar burn as well, and it did. We had the story of Hashabbos Aveda, and the goats which carried home the beers, and the nace with the beams got longer. Elizabeth thus, he had a conversation with Hashem, smiling, crying. He had a flash of light coming out of his forehead. We had a story with Levi, who spoke directly to Hashem, and that made him vulnerable to injury. We had Ruchia Balulani, who told the clouds, right here, as we have to throw your rain. A tzaddik is compared to a day tree, I say Paris, compared to an Eris. Gizay Machov, he regenerates, regrows, he has continuity. Reb Lezer, who told the people there on the way out, what about the kvar? They started crying, it started raining. Reb Akiva was Mavram with Doisam, therefore he generated responses from Hashem. We spoke about the fact that if it rains a significant amount, that can stop fasting. What's the trigger point? Netzachamo, Chatzois, Noin Shois, we have three Shittis. Shmuel Cotton says the real Shevach of the Tzibur is when they say Mashav Ruach, Emer Lageshem, and they achieve immediate results. And that Hal HaGodol, we learned, is typically meant to be said, Al Nefesh Seveya, Vikeres Meleya. All the best to you and much Hatzlacha.